Sagemont Church is a gathering of Christian believers in the southeast area of Houston, Texas. Today's message is from our staff minister, Reverend Wade Owens.
Does faith make sense? And I want us to go to Romans chapter 1. I know I'm going to scare some of you because we're in a series in Romans and I can't get out of chapter 1. And I couldn't help but be reminded, Dr. Skip, or Dr. Criswell, when he was going to preach through Revelations in a year. And 18 years later, he preached on the last chapter of the Revelations. I don't plan to get bogged down that long, all right? But I'm trying to get us off the launching pad to clearly understand the rest of the series. And so today in Romans chapter 1, I want to read to you from verse 17 through verse 22. And if you would like to join me in standing out of respect to the word, I invite you to do so at this time. Reading from the King James translation, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without an excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." May God bless the reading of his word, and you may be seated, and thank you for standing. Does faith make sense? The word gospel that Paul refers to is good news, where he says that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. In verse 16, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Gentile." The power of the gospel. He said, "I'm not ashamed of it." Now, the truth, the reality, folks, is that many people that claim to be Christians are ashamed of the gospel. They're ashamed of it. You say, "Well, I'm not ashamed of it." What, do you ever talk about it? Are you very comfortable when somebody wants to talk about politics to bring the gospel in? No, I don't want to do that. Well, are you ashamed of it? Are you ashamed of the fact you're a Christian? Are you ashamed to the point that you do not do anything that would make someone think that you were some kind of religious nut, a religious fanatic? Are you ashamed of the gospel? Paul said, "I am not." Well, what's the gospel? Can I just put it in real simple 5 points? Number one, it's the incarnation of the Son of God. The Word became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. Number two, Jesus, the Son of God, is God's atoning, is the one that died, and it was his atoning death on the cross that makes salvation possible. Number three, Jesus rose from the grave for our justification. Number four, Jesus will come again, and he will receive us to himself, that where he is, there we may be also. And number five, we can walk daily. We can walk daily in victory through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, these five things make up the gospel, where Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of those facts. I'm not ashamed that I believe the Word became flesh. I'm not ashamed that Jesus is the Son of God and he's my Lord and my Savior. I am not ashamed one iota when I tell people that I believe he rose from the grave. I believe he's coming again. And if you ask me how I know he lives within my life." Yes. You see, the sad thing is how easy it is for some people to forsake God. You know why? Because they don't know God. Right. If anybody can talk you out of being a total committed follower of Jesus Christ, you're not.
That's right.
Because you're not based on fact, you're based on faith.
Right.
You're not based on feelings, you're based on faith. And if you know Jesus personally, then you in no way would let anything lead you away from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you would cling to the old rugged cross, regardless of what happened around you. You see, Romans was written for people to make a commitment to that faith. That's what needed to be done. According to verse 18, God's wrath is focused on those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, those that look around and make their decision that they're not going to go with God, the wrath of God is poured out on them, not the righteous. In verse 19, Paul addresses the observation which some have always bringing up. What about those that have never heard of the gospel? Listen to it. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. How has God showed it unto them? We'll talk about that in just a minute. Verse 20, Paul addresses the state that not only is there visible evidence of God, but there's invisible evidence. The visible evidence is all around us. The invisible evidence is in our heart. You might call it your conscience. Anywhere you go, any place you go, there are people that have a hunger for God, not because of something they've seen, but because of something that's inside of them. There is a desire to fellowship with their Creator. And so as he deals with this, he says there's some things we see, with our eyes, and there's some things we feel with our heart. So he says in verse 20, they are without an excuse. Right. Now I want to show you something this morning that I want you to look with me at. I want to give you a visual. A wonderful Christian doctor in Tyler, a neurosurgeon, has come out with a book called Plain Sight. I have a copy of it in my office, to which I have taken these pictures from that book. I'll tell you more about the doctor later. Matter of fact, I want him to come and speak to you and me here at Sagemont. He is a brilliant, brilliant physician and a dynamite, born-again Christian. Believe in the Bible is inspired and errant, infallible word of God. I want to take just a brief thing out of his book, Plain Sight. I want to show you some pictures. I want you to look at, first of all, picture number one. And I want you to see, as you look at these, say, ugh. All right, I want you to notice something. This is the art of Paul Cinzani, 1879, the picture on the left he did. And then there's another picture on the right that was painted in 1888. Can I ask you, if you're not an art lover, and you don't have to, I think, be able to participate in a survey, would you believe that those two paintings, if you didn't know a thing about art, were painted by the same person? Yes or no? Go like this if you'd say yes. Or would you go like this and say no, they don't look anything alike? Does the style of the art look similar? Well, of course it does. Of course it does. He introduced this kind of art in 1879. Same man, did the same pictures. Now I want to show you something else. I want you to go to picture number two, and I want you to look at two things. You may recognize what's on the right side, but on the left side is a Purkinje brain cell. That's something this doctor looks at every day of his life through the telescope as he does surgery. As he says in his book, he's riding down the road one day, looked out in the field, and he saw a brain cell. What did he see? He saw an oak tree. Let me ask you a question. Could the same designer have designed both of those objects? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Come on, folks. Wake up. Come on. God has made himself evident. All right. Look at number three. On the left, you'll see a tree. Everybody's seen that if you're raised on a farm. If you cut it across, each of those are a centric ring. Every year, the tree puts a ring. On the right is a cosmic star trails caused by the planets rotating around the earth with a camera just fixed and focused and stopped with the shutter open. That's what your universe looks like. Is there any similarity as to the creator of the tree and the creator of the universe? Yeah. You think about it, all right? Now I want to go to number four. On the left is the human iris, the most valuable part of the eye's vertebrates. Yes. On the right are gold particles that are the collision of gold nuclei and a particle acceleration. Do they look to be anything similar, though they're so different from the minerals, the heavens and the earth God created, and the eye? Yes. I want you to go to number five. Number five, we see the spiral galaxy, one of approximately 200 galaxies that make up the Eridanus group of galaxies. In the right is the eye of the hurricane. Does this have any similarities? It may be the same creator put the two of them together. I want you to look at number six. Number six and number A is a cell dividing, and number B is a magnetic field of metal fibers being pulled by the magnetic force, a God force. Is there any similarities to the division of the particles and to the cell? Then I want you to go to the next one, number seven. Now we're come closer to Texas. Number left is the roly-poly bug, for the scientific name, or the pill bug if you're 4 years old. On the right is the three-banded armadillo. Would you imagine in your scientific knowledge, and I know some of you graduate in the upper one-fourth or the lower one-eighth of your science class, but could it be that the same person that made the pill bug made the armadillo? Is there any design there that would indicate from a higher source that they could have been created by the same creator? Yes. Let's go to number eight, which is a network of passages that supply the lungs. That's the left picture. You may have had one of those made of yourself. The one on the right is the Mississippi River Delta, as the river is flowing into the Gulf of Mexico at normal times. Any similarity of the one who made the Mississippi could have made those cells in our body. Number nine is lightning and the retinal arteries compared. That are your arteries on the right side. That's lightning on the left. Could there be the same creator? And then finally, to make my point, there's a cabbage leaf on the left, and there's a blood vessel on the right. Is there any similarity to the one that put it together? Now then, we can either walk by faith and believe the Bible, or we can go with science and say, well, there is a design there, but I don't believe in God. Well, if there's a design, do you have to have a designer? Yes. Well, of course you do. So what is a designer? You see, that's where we get back now with Paul. Paul was a very smart man. And while Paul is proclaiming his unconditional commitment to the Lordship of Christ, while he's doing that, there's a bunch of people in his generation, just like there are in our generation. And you know what question they're asking? Is there a God? Is there a God out there? Because you see, today it's fashionable to deny God. If you want a bestseller book, if you write one denying God, it'll probably sell more than your personal testimony of believing in God. It's the end thing. It's the end thing in entertainment industry to make fun and light of God. When I was a kid, all preachers were little feminine guys. They were kind of mamby-pamby kind of guys. And now the vulgarity of the entertainment world and the making fun of gods and things that are holy and the family and on go continually. The fact day of it is, and you know what's got science confused? Is that every single day, with all the knowledge that we have, the evidence of God is building and building and building. Yes. In the scientific world, in the historical world, in the archaeological world, in the philosophical world, in the medical world, the evidence is building and building and building. And not long ago, a book was written by Norman Geisler and Frank Turrett entitled, listen to the name of this one, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. What do you think takes the most faith? To believe in God or not believe in Him? When you look at the flowers again that I point to so often, by chance or by designer? What would be the easiest? By faith, believing there's a designer, or you want to try to dissect it and see the alternative? Before you ignore or blow off that There is no God. I suggest that you spend some time doing some research and start with the book of Romans and start with the Bible and get together and see the evidence that is right under the nose of the honest seeker today. Amen. With all that we have to look at. Now, pronouncing something and proving something is different. You can pronounce that there is no God. You can say, there is no God. Now, prove it. You can say there is a God, and somebody says, you prove it. The fact of the matter is, neither one can prove it, because the just live by faith. Yes. You can either have faith in the brains of this world and the methods of this world, or you can have faith in a resurrected Lord. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I will put my intellect on the line, he was saying. I will put my reputation, my changed life on the line. Romans 1:17 says, the just shall live by faith. Yes. Romans 3:3 says, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without an effect? This is what he said. You say, well, I just know brilliant people and they don't believe. So what? How does that affect me? How does that affect you? I know people that think fried shrimp are not the best food out there. It doesn't affect me one iota. They have every right to be wrong. Hebrews 11:16 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Even our salvation is determined by our willingness to allow our faith to be stronger than our intelligence. Yes. Now, he's already said your intelligence doesn't impress me. No. I'm looking for somebody to impress me with their faith. Yes. So Ephesians 2:8, you've heard it many times. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, as we look at not only today's lesson, but throughout this series, every person that thinks, that's a thinker, has a brain and some intelligence, every person believes in cause and effect. Every effect becomes the cause of some other effect. Now, just think about it. I don't know why this wind keeps blowing from the north in May. Ever since last Wednesday, we've had north winds, north winds, north winds, north winds. I don't know why, but I can tell my directions. I know which way it's north. Plus, I have a television that affirms my weather forecast. But think about this. Whatever has a beginning has a cause. The universe had a beginning, therefore the universe had a cause. So when you put all of that together, you think, well, now what is the cause and effect? Let me get it down to where we live. If you went to a doctor and you had a big lump, let's say you had it right here on your throat, and you went to the doctor and he examines you and you say to the doctor, what caused it? What caused it? And the doctor says, nothing. I would suspect you'd be calling your friends and say, could you recommend another doctor to me? Amen. Because I realize that if I got a tumor, something caused it. If I have a baby, something caused it. If I have a heartbeat, something caused it. If my flowers come out of the ground, something causes it. Cause and effect. Yes. If you have a dent in your car when you go out here today, I will guarantee you, you'll come right back in here, go right to that reception office, and you'll want to talk to somebody because somebody ran into my car while I was in church today. No, it just popped in. Nobody hit your car. Oh, and that hole in the wall where your kids in their room, you know that big hole in the wall? You know, just about big enough to throw a tricycle through? It just happened. Everybody's good, especially your kids. They're all wonderful. It just happened. You'd think, I don't think so. Robert Jastrow, astronomer and founding director of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies, wrote a book years ago, and the name of the book was God and the Astronomers. Let me quote him. Don't get mad at him when I quote what he said then. The matter of the universe is packed together into one dense mass under enormous pressure, and the temperature is ranging up to trillions of degrees. The seeds of everything that has happened in the universe since were planted in that first instant. Every star, every planet, every other living creature in the universe owes its physical origin to events that were set in motion in the moment of the cosmic explosion. In a purely physical sense, that was the moment of creation. Now, we call that the Big Bang Theory. The Big Bang Theory. Now, Stephen Hawking takes that statement and builds on it. And I'm going to impress you here with some numbers, and I'll be real quick on these numbers because I can't even figure them. But what that theory says is, according to Stephen Hawking, is the universe came into existence. If you will take a 1 and put 30 zeros after it, multiply that then by 0.00 and put 34 zeros and then the 1, that's how fast it happened. It got as big as 1 plus 30 zeros. You say, you got me confused. I was confused, so let me tell you what it is in simple terms. If you had a dime and that dime exploded in that 10 millionth of a second into something as big as 10 million Milky Ways in the universe, that's the Big Bang Theory. A dime became the universe. And that quicker than I could even think about snapping my finger. You say, oh, man, I can't believe that. Well, I can't either. You see, they can't either. But it sounds good, doesn't it? Who's going to disprove them? Well, my faith isn't going to take me there. I'm just got to have more that I'm going to put my faith in, that this whole universe came from a dime that blew up one day and became 10 trillion Milky Ways. I can't go that way. But let me tell you where I can go. I can go to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I can hang there for a while. And then I can go over to Psalms 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. He's talking about creation. From the cabbage leaf to the eye to the Mississippi River to the tree stump to the pill bug to the three-banded armadillo, it all some way ties together. In the beginning, cause God created the heavens and the earth. No one, I do not believe that this is an inaccurate statement. No one could look at what's out there, the design of your body, gravity, light, neutrons, all those very delicate things, oxygen, and not believe there was a designer behind that. Can you just blow that off and say, no, I thank my college professor at the What's Happening Now University when I took 22 hours of physics. I think I got it together. Why don't you by faith believe a God that's been here before the foundation of the world and will be here after the foundation and says, in the beginning, I created it. Yes. And believe it by faith. Correct. See, every time science comes up with a discovery, you know what it causes? Three more questions. You know what that means? The farther they go, the behinder they get. That's what that means. The more scientific fact they bring out, the more confused they become. They open one bag of worms, and the worms are coming from every other direction. Why? Because my ways are higher than your ways, says the Lord. Even your greatest scientists. So I've got a decision. By faith, I can either believe in Father God, or I can believe in Mother Nature. I think I'll go with Father God. I think I will go and spend my life and live and die unto the Lord. The scientists may doubt there is a God, but they all agree there's a designer. Isn't that ironic? What keeps them from saying there's a God? Because the God makes them decrease because he increases. You see, they have to humble themselves if it's a God. If it's a designer, they can argue with him. But the Bible says that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, let me close on a positive note. Every single one of us ought to respect those who are intellectually gifted. I do. Many have been given by the Creator, the designer, who I believe is God, incredible abilities compared to mine. Not compared to God, but compared to mine. And as I think of all that is out there, and I read verse 22, listen to this. They profess themselves to be wise. You notice who recognizes them? They profess themselves. See, some people do that. They're legends in their own mind.
Yes, they are.
I am brilliant because I'm smarter than you, preacher. Don't take too much with that, okay? You don't have to go that much farther down the road. All right? Professing themselves to be wise. There's a difference in wisdom and intelligence.
Yes.
God says, you may be intellectually gifted, but for wisdom, you're a fool. You've got zero common sense.
Yes.
You just keep digging and looking through a microscope to see something that I have told you. I have confounded the wise. And you are never, ever going to find exactly what you're looking for. You looking for truth? John 14:6. I am the way,
Amen.
The truth, and the life.
Yes, he is.
And no one is going to go to the Father unless they come through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read you something, and I'm through. You know, scientists are still trying to define and explain light. Do you believe in light? Well, if we cut the lights out right now, you get an idea. There is something called light. Scientists can't figure it out. I just accept it. Well, you get rid of darkness, you just turn on the light, right? So listen to this. Dr. Werner Van Braun was a one-time director of NASA's research and developer of the rocket that put America's first space satellite into orbit. And here's what he wrote. Listen to this. Brilliant mind. In our modern world, many people seem to feel that our rapid advance in the field of science renders such things as religious belief untimely or old-fashioned. They wonder why we should be satisfied in believing something when science tells us that we know so many things. The simple answer to the contention is that we are confronted with many more mysteries of nature today than when the age of scientific enlightenment began. With every new answer unfolded, science has consistently discovered at least 3 new questions. The answers indicate that everything as well ordered and perfectly created as are our earth and universe, now listen to what this scientist says, must have a maker, a master designer. Anything so orderly, so perfect, so precisely balanced, so majestic as this creation can be only the product of a divine idea.
Right.
Now that's science, that's intellect on fire.
Yes, sir.
All right? Now, do you remember when I told you about Robert Jastrow and his book, The God and the Astronomer? The reason I said I want to close on some good news, I think all of you would want to know that before he died, he gave his heart to Jesus Christ and refuted everything that he'd ever written. He said, I've looked through my telescopes and my microscopes too many times to go to face the Creator and say, I proved you wrong. It is incredible what God is doing today. Dr. Anthony Flew, considered by many as the world's greatest philosophical atheist. And he wrote a book called The Presumption of Atheism. And he wrote, before he died, a book, and here's his title, There Is a God, How the World's Most Notorious Atheist Changed His Mind. Amen. Folks, I can't take that route. I got to start with the faith of a little child. Yes. I don't have time to go back and get all my degrees and refute. I'm just, by faith, the God of seven is good enough for me at 70. Amen. And I've not found anybody else that disagrees with that. But I've seen a lot of people that have thrown their life and career away trying to prove something that can't be proven one way or another. But the just will live by faith. Yes. When Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, he was saying, I'm putting my faith in the God of the Bible. Right. And his son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as a ransom for many, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And I was an eyewitness to his resurrection, and I believe that he's coming again, and I can do all things through Christ and his Holy Spirit that strengthens me, and that's the way I will live my life.
Yes.
Now, you make your choice.
Amen.
You can live it any way you want to.
Right.
Any way you want to.
Yep.
And you don't know what another day is going to bring. So I don't know when you're going to make your choice. But I would encourage you today to look very, very carefully. Are you living a life of fact and intelligence, and that fact becoming fiction? How many things have we saw growing up in our life? Eat this, it'll make you healthy. Now they say, eat it and it'll kill you. You know, do this, do that, on this kind of stuff. Or to find something that's consistent. By grace are you saved through faith. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. As you think with me this morning about does faith make sense, it does to me. You say, well, it still doesn't to me. Well, that's your choice. But I'm going to tell you, whichever way you go, science cannot prove that there's not a God. In fact, the farther they go, according to this scientist, he said, the farther behind they get. The Bible says, I've made myself evident in creation that a person with common sense and ordinary intelligence can know there's a God. And reaching the age of accountability is when you know there's a God and you've sinned against that God. You acknowledge that. So today, if you're here, church member, non-church member, been around church a long time, or but never been born again, today could be your day of salvation. You'll not be held accountable for your church membership. You'll be held accountable for your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
We pray that today's message has brought you to a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Join us Sundays at 8, 9:30, and 11 a.m. at Sagemont Church in the Worship Auditorium. For more information, check us out on the World Wide Web, sagemontchurch.org.